excellent is thy name, O Lord. How excellent is your name. Excellent is thy name. Excellent is your name. How excellent is thy name. Oh, how marvelous is your holy name. How marvelous is thy name. Oh, how wonderful is your name.
Amen. And the children will come bless our excellent Lord. Amen. Amen. With song request, the children will come sing for us, and then Sister Noella will sing after the children sing. Amen. So all the children come and sing. Come bless your Lord. Hallelujah. The little Gentile warriors.
Fire, whatever. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See our children sing. Amen. Samuel is playing the C sharps, G sharps, D sharps. I don't even know what a sharp is. But it's very good. If the Lord can continue to bless him. Just if Sister Luella can come sing.
Is she ready? While she comes, we'll just sing. Cast your burden unto Jesus. Come, sister.
For he cares for you. Cast your burden.
Amen. Hallelujah. Be like the little ones. Humble yourself. Amen. Let's sing that song. You have meeting in the air. Amen. Let's sing that song as we come to an end of our song worship. You have heard the story told. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of Phyllis, David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the way we often sing. Oh, there are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By the Lord will surely let us meet them in the meeting in the air. Hallelujah, there is going to be a meeting in the air. In that sweet, sweet quiet, by and by I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Start singing, you will mortal, to be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one, the meeting in the air. Many things will there be missing in that meeting, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached for sinners, for the sinners had refused to heed their call. There will be no mourning over wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading grief. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted. In the meeting in the air. Hallelujah, there is going to be a meeting in the air. Sweet, sweet, by and by, I am going to meet you. I'll meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Start singing, you will hear, never heard by mortal. To be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one in the meeting. Will be missing altogether, and the skeptics will be absent on that day. There'll be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the archons will be busy far away. There the saints will have the seal upon their foreheads, just a remnant man, but right at once can be. All who have the wedding garments will be present. Turn in the air. Hallelujah, there is going to be a meeting in the air. In the sweet, sweet by and by, I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Start singing, you will hear, never heard by mortal. You'll be glorious, I do.
why she's turned at the wheels with the authority for her ministry. She shall speak from the summit of the Severn field. Oh, hallelujah, coming from the east. Oh, coming from the west. Oh, coming from the north and from the south. Oh, the rainbow. On the summit of the silver field, we sing a brand new song. We are the blood washed dawn. We sing our names beneath the silver sea. He opened up to us, oh, all the mystery. And there is light on the summit of the silver field. Hallelujah. Coming from the east, oh, coming. All things are ready now. Father, let the fire fall. Father, glorify thy name. You did it once before in the life of Malachi. Now, Father, glorify thy name. Hallelujah. Coming from the east. Coming from the west. Coming from the north and from the south.
Saints, I saw some people clap today that have never seen clap before. It's wonderful. I think somebody is prophesying over the bones.
Hallelujah.
And they're coming together. It's a good thing. Let's sing one more here, Saints, before we hand over to Brother Vitaly. If he wants to sing an item with Sister Anna at the beginning, please feel free. Let's sing that song, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Let's just get our hearts ready for the word, and may the Lord bless the word today.
Someone singing, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone singing, Lord, Kumbaya. Someone singing,
someone singing, Lord,
Kumbaya.
Just want to sing another a special song for you. You can be seated. This is a song that was composed by my wife a few years ago, and it's actually a Russian song, but it's been translated into different languages. So we'll sing it in English, we'll sing it in Lithuanian, since we come from that country, and maybe a chorus in Russian as well. Hallelujah.
Saints of all the ages that's gone by, long to see this happening in their time, but they died in faith, anticipating for the day which is going on now. In this finishing hour, darkness holds the world in deadly grip. People's hearts are in religious sleep, but there's a holy and elected nation, pure and right, for the harvest is ripe. Fields are ready and wide. There was a midnight cry, the bridegroom's drawing nigh. There will be a rapture in the twinkling of an eye. Come trim the lamp of your heart now. Let the love of Christ shine bright in you. Let His life in you abide. Jesus Christ is revealed in His bride.
Амжу, амжу, славки щас дяно. Трошку дам пожвел ты что лумос. Бети кей ме уж мего, лаук да ми кантри, тока свикста да бар. Арги бус лейко да. Шаме голда, ноги ми станца. Širdise religiju gausa, bet yra dar išrinktieji viešpaties vaikai, jau subrendo baltai, pjūčiai Dievo laukai. Skrieja žinia nakčia, štai jaunikis čia, Dievo šventieji paimti bus slapčia. O pataisyk žibintuvą, Kristus te gyvena tavyje. Vaikščiok Dievo šviesoje, šiandien gyvas jis nuotakoje. Полночь раздался крик, вот идет жених,
от восхищенье
соберет всех святых. О, встань, поправь свой светильник, пусть любовь Христа в тебе горит. Жизнь твоя пусть говорит, Бог сегодня в невесте открыт. The glorious and spotless sinless bride, ready to be standing by His side. She's given the fine linen of righteousness of saints. The perfection of Christ can be seen in their lives. There was a midnight cry, Jesus Christ is revealed
in His bride.
How we cherish this message from God. Let us sing a new song to the Lord. It's a sign to all the nations, the divine manifestation, for we have a revelation who we are. There was a midnight cry, the bridegroom's drawing nigh. There will be a rapture in a twinkling of an eye. Come trim the lamp of your heart now. Let the love of Christ shine bright in you. Let His life in you abide. Jesus Christ is revealed in His bride. Skriaya zhenya nakcha, shtey unikischa, gridievo shventiei. Paim tėbų slapčia, o pataisi žibintuvą. Kristus te gyvena tavyje. Vaikščiok Dievo šviesoje, šiandien gyvas Jis nuotakoje. Jesus Christ is revealed in His bride.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's so wonderful to be in His house and His presence.
Hallelujah.
This Easter morning. Hallelujah. You know, and the Easter morning today is very special, I believe. And personally, to me, when I woke up this morning, I realized it is a historical moment today. You know, personally to me and my family, because it just came to my mind. Yesterday we were talking with Brother Andrew, and he reminded me of something that happened exactly 4 years ago during Easter. And it is related to your church right here, because exactly 4 years ago, 2010, I was here with my pastor, Brother Pavel Stepanenko, who's his church, and our church is sending the greetings to you once again. And he's been here 4 years ago preaching, and I was with him interpreting into English. And there was something happened that really shook my life, you know. At the very same moment I was here in Dublin during Easter. It was another date, it was April the 3rd, but it was Easter still. And while Brother Paul was preaching, I was interpreting. My dad at home, he had a heart attack. And it wasn't actually a heart attack, it was his main blood aorta that was going into the heart actually burst. So you can imagine, that's instant death. So he just fainted, and there were two deacons standing by his side as he was there. The Lord is gracious, you know. He knows where his deacons are. Hallelujah. So those two brothers noticed he just fell down, and they laid their hands on him, and they heard something like, ugh, you know, something like this coming from his chest, you know. And but all of a sudden he woke up, and they called for the ambulance as well. And when my dad woke up, he says, "Hey, well, why did you call for the ambulance? I feel well, you know." And he didn't even know what was going on, you know. And when the ambulance came and asked for all the symptoms, they said, "Oh, this is serious. You just lay down here." And they took him over to hospital. And when it took some time to get to hospital. It took some time to get all the analysis and stuff and checkups, and they realized what really happened, and they were surprised. How come you're still alive? How are you still alive with your aorta burst? And you're still alive, you're still talking, you didn't even want to go to hospital, you know?
So they operated on him, and the operation was on the Easter night, Saturday night into Sunday night. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the operation lasted for 13 hours. It was so complicated. When my dad woke up in the intensive care, he opened his eyes and his understanding was opened, and then the main surgeon came to him, and he says to my dad, and my dad remembered that for all his life. He says, "Hey," the doctor says, he didn't even know he was a Christian or whatever. He says, "Hey Eagle, do you know you've just resurrected?" It was the Easter morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, it's a testimony in itself. You know, when we celebrate Easter at home, we celebrate a double Easter. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it's so related. I believe there's nothing that happens by chance. You know, nothing really happens by chance. You know, and I'm standing here 4 years sharp after that. Hallelujah. Celebrating Easter with you again. Hallelujah. Preaching on a Saturday night and a Sunday morning. Hallelujah. So, you know, there's all these little things that come together and you realize you're in the right spot, you're in the right place. Oh, praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. So just wanted to share this little testimony with you and to say that it's a momentous time for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I would just want you to turn with me in your Bibles into 1 Kings 19, verse 19 as well. And Lord willing, we're going to move into a subject here that is also going to be a certain picture. So if you can stand and read the word with us, we'll just follow this. We'll be reading more of the Bible today, but this is one of the main verses here. This is a very familiar scripture. I'm sure you've heard it being preached many times, but I believe it'll be a bit of a continuation of what we were talking about yesterday, about the revival, right? About the things that are going on in the Easter time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he departed thence. That's Elijah, the prophet. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he, Elijah, said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Hallelujah. Now we'll skip a few chapters here and look into the second book of Kings, second chapter. Maybe a few verses. We'll read maybe almost the whole chapter a little bit later, but not to hold you standing. A few verses from chapter 2. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. Hallelujah. You can be seated right here. And praise the Lord for the scriptures, right? Hallelujah. Because it's the unchangeable word of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever in his Bible, in his scriptures. Hallelujah. So we can see a historical event happening here. One prophet calling out another prophet to join him. Amen. Hallelujah. Elijah and Elisha, right? But Before that even happened, I would want you to see the picture, which is not a historical picture, but something that is going on now.
Amen.
As we sang it in the song, going on now in this finishing hour. Hallelujah. Because the same persons, the same personages, right? The same people, the same spirits are right here as well. Right? Hallelujah. Because when we read about Elijah here, the prophet Elijah, we know there's a promise. You all know it very well. There was a promise given in Malachi 4 that there will be Elijah the prophet that will come at the end of the time, at the finishing hour, and he will return the faith of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Right? Hallelujah. So it's a promise that was fulfilled, and we know that there was a prophet, Elijah, in the spirit of Elijah on this earth, and his name was William Marion Branham, and he was walking this earth, and God was confirming him. He was that prophet Elijah that actually took the faith of the father, the children, and restored it back to the fathers, right? Hallelujah. And before we look into this particular scripture where Elijah and Elisha was walking, right? Hallelujah. The prophet and his disciple was walking, right? And in other messages, Brother Branham says Elijah was the prophet and Elisha was the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So now we know if we have a prophet Elijah on the scene, we had it, right? Hallelujah. And then there was also an Elisha, right? A church that was following him everywhere he would go. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, you know. But when we look at even the prophet Elijah in the same chapter here, in chapter 19, I believe he's, it's actually in chapter 18, Elijah is on Mount Carmel. And you know, there's a lot of, on Mount Carmel, there's a lot of prophets that wanted to disprove he was a prophet, right? And on that mountain there was an altar, and the condition was whoever sends down the pillar of fire on that altar is the vindicated prophet, right? Hallelujah. And those prophets of Baal, there were 400 of them, and they were trying and they were cutting themselves with knives, and they were shouting and things like this, but nothing happened. Nothing happened. But there was one vindicated man, one vindicated prophet of God, Elijah the prophet, who even poured water, made it more impossible for God to prove this. But God came down in a pillar of fire over the prophet and vindicated him before the public. Hallelujah. And we believe the same thing happened in 1950.
Amen.
When Brother Branham was standing, he wasn't even supposed to be there at the meeting of the prophets there. When somebody was, you know, trying to disprove him, you know, and trying to, you know, put a tag of a divine healer on him or whatever, you know. And there was this Dr. Best, you know, who made the pictures and things, to, you know, waving his fist over the face of the man of God, you know. And it was just a conglomeration of the prophets of Baal. You know, and they were trying to disprove that. But here comes Elijah the prophet, and here comes the pillar of fire, hallelujah, which was photographed, and it's hanging on the wall right there. But it's not the only wall it's hanging on. It's hanging also in the White House, hallelujah, in America, as the proof of the first supernatural being ever photographed, hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Proven by the FBI agent. And he says, this is this light. Actually, he said, struck the lens. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. For the prophet Elijah confirmed and vindicated in our hour. Hallelujah. Before the public. So that nobody would have an excuse. Nobody would have an excuse for not seeing or not knowing about this prophet. Hallelujah. Because he was vindicated by the pillar of fire himself. Hallelujah. So when we know there's an Elijah with a pillar of fire confirmed. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. A man of nature. A man of the wilderness. Right? Hallelujah. Hating Jezebel religions. Hallelujah. But then we know if he's on the scene or he was on the scene, we know he's gone, right? He was he died in 1965. But the Lord said when he descended one of the first times on the Ohio River, 1933, I was actually standing there, that particular spot in Jeffersonville, you know, where this this River Ohio is, you know, where he was baptizing the 17th man, and the pillar of fire came down. And the voice said, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming of the Lord, then you, in so much your message, will forerun the second coming. Praise the Lord. You can read it in other messages of Brother Branham. I thought the same. I thought it was, so you will forerun. No, and Brother Branham says in Luke away to Jesus, he says, look at what the angel actually told. He says, your message will forerun the second coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we are following the Elijah today in the form of his message now, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if Elijah is on the scene, we know Elisha should be on the scene as well, right? And we've just read this scripture here where how he was called, right? And that's the church. Amen. And that's the church. This is how we were called as well. Where you can look into Elisha and say, this is me. That's how I was called. Because if you were called, this is the only way you could be called. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I would like even to look a little bit beyond what's written here and look a few verses up in chapter 19. And we know that Elijah was passing by Elisha and he cast his mantle upon him, called him, and Elisha started following him. But what happened before that? This is not the first scripture Elisha is actually mentioned in. And the first scripture where he's actually mentioned in is in the same chapter, but it's in verses 15, 16. That's 1 Kings 19. This is when Elijah is leaving the scene and he says, Lord, I want to be retired. You know, just like Brother Branham says, this old prophet that was blasting the Jezebel system, he was so tired. Hallelujah, he wanted to go home. Amen. Hallelujah. And as the Lord is preparing him to go home, he is doing a preparation. He is doing a provision for the people that will stay here on earth while Elijah is gone. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is what I believe the Lord always does. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, unto Elijah, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and then, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Amen. Hallelujah. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Hallelujah. So that's the first mention of Elisha. Imagine, Elijah is talking to the Lord and he says, I know my departure is coming. Just like Brother Branham, you know, he was preaching. He says, they'll kill me. He says, those Catholics, he says, yeah, they'll set it up. He says, you know, he was seeing the visions of his death, you know, and things like this. He was feeling it's coming, you know. And just like Elijah here, he says, I believe my time is up. I've finished my course, as Apostle Paul said, right? I've finished my course on this earth. But Lord, I pray so that somebody would still stay here with this anointing in Israel. Hallelujah. And while he's communicating with God, the Lord shows someone whom he shall anoint in thy room, he says, instead of yourself, right? Instead of you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe that every church has the same vision to be successful. Hallelujah. Because there's a man of God, there's a minister of God, there's a good musician, there's a good singer. But there should be someone in the stead of that good man and a good singer and a good musician too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because when he leaves or he has to do something, there should be someone in his stead as well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we know that, imagine Elijah is somewhere in the wilderness and he's communicated with God as a prophet. And then all of a sudden the Lord reveals to him to whom shall he go now. Amen. And we're not seeing Hazael, we're not seeing going to Jehu here. We'll skip this part. But the particular part which is in the same chapter is that he went down to Elisha's house. Hallelujah. Because that's us. That's us. That's the church. That's the one that was. Hazael wasn't following Elijah. Jehu wasn't following Elijah. But we know that Elisha was following Elijah. Hallelujah. But imagine the picture. While Elijah is still communicating with God, Elisha is still plowing on the field. He doesn't even know anything about Elijah coming, throwing his mantle. He's doing his chores. He's doing his job. He's doing the best with the complicated machine there, the 12 yoke of oxen, you know. Hallelujah. And he's working there. But imagine, while he was working, not knowing anything, God has already known. Hallelujah. God has already known him. Hallelujah. He didn't even know, only know him. He knew his name. He said, hallelujah, just like here it says, and Elisha. And it says, he and the son of Shaphat of Melhol, and shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Hallelujah. So God, before he called you, the Elishas of this hour, he's already known your name. He's already known what family you've come from. The son of Shaphat, right? Hallelujah. He's already known that you'll be anointed. Hallelujah. He's already known that you will be a prophet. Hallelujah. He has already known your gift. He's already known your talent before even you were called. Before Elisha was called, God knew his name, his calling, and even in whose stead he will be functioning. Hallelujah. And that he'll be destroying, that he'll be killing, right? Just like here it says, Elisha, whosoever Jehu doesn't kill, Elisha will kill, right? Because he knew your actions, he knew your talent, he knew your gift, he knew your calling, he knew your name. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Hallelujah. This is what happened to us as well, right? We were the dry bones in the valley, but God knew that we were alive at a certain point, and we had a powerful ministry that needs to be revived again. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. We read here, so he departed thence. And he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, was plowing the 12 yoke of oxen. And he left the oxen. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Cast his mantle. Oh, how symbolic this is. I mean, there's nothing really that would be in the Bible in vain. Every single detail has a meaning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we can see the prophet Elijah passing by. And I mean, if today somebody threw a jacket on you, you know, it wouldn't make sense to you. You know, you would say, hey, you've just lost your jacket, you know, and you would just pick it up and give it back to the man, right? But something really happened, and we know that Elisha reacted to that mantle so fast. So fast. Why? Because God has already known him. Why did you react to the word so fast? Because there was something in you to react from. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And as Elijah, the prophet Elijah, was passing by that house, hallelujah, and here's Elisha doing his job, right? Doing whatever he had to do. Hallelujah. Doing his vocation there. But all of a sudden, there's this prophet passing by, and the strange thing, he didn't come. And he didn't, you know, just come like this and say, hey, and he touched Elisha, you know, with his hand. You know, a personal touch, you know. Just like, you know, if William Branham was still alive and he shook our hand, we would feel it's so special, right? Oh, man, then I'm truly in the message, right? Oh, he touched me. But imagine how symbolic it was, because Elisha took the mantle from him. Amen. Hallelujah. A piece of fabric, a piece of material. And then this material touched Elisha. It wasn't the man personally that touched you. It was the material taken from him that touched you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when you hit when somebody gave you a message book, right? Somebody gave you a tract, somebody gave you a tape where someone was preaching about it. Or Brother Branham's tape, hallelujah, the material, hallelujah. It touched your heart. And then you said, my, this is so awesome, I want to follow it. Hallelujah. And nobody, imagine, Elijah didn't have to shake Elijah. Elijah says, hey, you have all the 12 yoke of oxen. Man, you'll have to burn them now. You know, you'll have to leave your job now. You'll have to leave your denomination. You'll have to leave everything. You know, and Elijah would say, I feel sorry for that, but because you asked, I'll do it. You know, no, it was a personal revelation in Elisha's life. It was his desire. It was his motive. He did it willingly. Hallelujah. He left them willingly. He burned the oxen willingly. Hallelujah. And he wanted himself to follow Elijah. Hallelujah. Elijah was just like Jesus. He says, you want to follow me? So then follow me. Because what have I done to you? I didn't ask you to follow me. In other words, right? Hey, you want to follow? You follow, but be quick, okay? It was stern as Elijah was, you know. Hallelujah. So this is the anointing of the hour. I tell you, it's a stern anointing. You either go or you stay. Hallelujah. You want to continue with your career. You want to continue with your style of life. You continue with your oxen. Hallelujah. But why? Why Elijah could be so stern? Why? Hallelujah. The reason why he could be so sure, because the Lord has revealed to him, he is my son. He will not run away. He will follow. There's a gene, there's an attribute in him to follow you. So he was stern enough and he said, either you follow or I'll go without you. You know, in other words, right? He says, what have I done to you? Hallelujah. But Elijah had the revelation. Hallelujah. He felt the pull. I need to follow this vindicated prophet of the hour. Hallelujah. And he started following the prophet. And now here when we turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, we see how close Elisha was following the ministry of Elijah. And we see that the time which is depicted here in the scripture is the particular time we're living in today. Because when we read chapter 2, it says, it came to pass when the Lord would take up, would rapture Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. So we are hitting here the time of the rapture. When are we living now? In the rapture. Amen. You know the rapture is on already? Brother Branham says when your soul was revived, it was raptured. Yes. Hallelujah. When you heard the shout and you reacted to it, hallelujah, this is when the rapture, the coming of the Lord starts in your life, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we are living in the times of the rapture. We are preaching about rapturing faith. Hallelujah. We are preaching about rapturing grace, but we can see it in type here as well because somebody was going to be raptured. Somebody had the key of the rapture in his hand. Amen. And he was sure he had it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And it was the prophet. It was Elijah the prophet. It was William Marion Branham who had the key of the rapture. Hallelujah. You listen to the tape of Brother Branham, the rapture, you know, and he's preaching there, the full gospel businessman. And there, you know, you can see all those forks and knives rattling there because it's a breakfast, you know. And they're eating away, and he's mixing his words, you know. Another will be, one will be, he said, one will be caught up, another will be ketchup, you know. And they're eating there, ketchup, you know. You know, you can hear them laughing there, you know. And he's giving out the secrets of the change of the body to them. On the tape. And somebody's rushing the service and said, hey, you should finish now. You should finish now. Your time is up. If you listen to the tape, you'll hear it. There was a woman that came, I think, to the door and said, hey, your rent is up, your time is up. And this message was so important. It was giving out the keys of the change of the molecules and the atoms in our body. Hallelujah. And the order of it. Oh, praise the Lord. So somebody had the key of the resurrection. of the Easter, of the rapture, hallelujah, in his hand. And Elisha knew it for sure.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Elijah had the revelation of the rapture, and he's walking, hallelujah, and we see that it was the time of the rapture, and Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Let's read the rest of the scripture here, if you don't mind. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace.
Amen.
This is the strange part. Amen. What was wrong about saying it? What was wrong about quoting it? Yeah, we'll see. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here. I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.
Amen.
So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. You can see the same pattern, the same picture repeating itself three times right here. Same words, different places. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here. But the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided here and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou shalt see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of fire, the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back, stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, yes, you shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for ye tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not send you, go ye not? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this is the picture. You know, a very interesting picture, a very paradoxical scripture that puzzled me for many years. When you read this, all those details, they kind of, you know, you want to know what they mean, you know. Hallelujah. Because the scripture was written not for only symbols, but for the meaning of the symbols that was there. Hallelujah. So we can find Elijah going, we can see Elijah is walking. Elijah is progressing. Elijah is going from city to city. Elijah is going from point unto point. Hallelujah. What does Elisha do? He is following him all the way wherever he goes. However strange the journey is he is still following him. Because if you look at the map, I don't have the map here, but if you imagine the map, Gilgal is just across Jordan, right? This is where they pass and they cross Jordan. This is where they worship and sacrifice. And then, so this is the first spot. Then the next one is Bethel, way up there, you know. And then Jericho, point number three, is back to Jordan, you know. So they almost were walking in circles, you know. It wasn't like a journey from Dublin to Banbridge, you know. That they were stopping by, you know, somewhere, you know, but their goal was still ahead of them. It was a straight line. No, it was a strange way. It was a strange way. Gilgal, Bethel, back to Jericho, over Jordan, back over Jordan, you know. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is working in his strange ways. It's not a straight line. Hallelujah. Oh, but the Lord may lead you here and there. The main thing is that you would follow the prophet. Hallelujah. Follow Elijah. Follow the spirit of Elijah. Follow the message of Elijah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass that Elijah, and here's his disciple Elisha, and he turns over to him and he says, listen, we're in Gilgal now. And I tell you, I'm the prophet. I'm the prophet of the hour. And I'm telling you, I even pray you, stay here. Because the Lord is sending me. I'm going. You're not going. You're staying here. As the prophet of the hour, I said, thus say the Lord, stay here. Hallelujah. Imagine how Elisha must have felt. I'm following the prophet of the hour. I'm following the message. And here the prophet himself actually gives me an order. He's my master. He's my head, right? And he gives me an order. Stay here. How shall I treat it now? How shall I understand it now? What shall I do now? The prophet himself. Imagine the prophet himself with the authority Elijah had. Hallelujah. Imagine the burning eyes, you know, of Elijah, you know. The stern prophet who said, 3 years from now, no rain. Goodbye. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Ahab wants to say, you're the one who's confusing Israel. And says, who? You're the one who's confusing Israel. You know, there was a lot of sternness. There was a lot of fire coming from those eyes, you know. Imagine his eyes when he was killing 400 prophets. No kidding with this kind of prophet, you know. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the same spirit of Elijah was here in our days. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it's still here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, you can imagine Elijah being so stern and saying, I pray thee, I give you a commandment. Stay here in Gilgal because I'm going to Bethel. What shall Elisha do now? There's a quote of the prophet where he says, stay here. Oh, hallelujah. Now, every single of those, you know, when you read Brother Branham, he says Gilgal is just like justification and then sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, Jordan, power, and all this. You can read this type of symbology in his message. But if you look at the meanings of the cities, what the name actually meant, it opens another picture as well, a very interesting one, because Gilgal is a wheel. The word means the wheel, a rotating wheel, a rotation. Where have you seen rotating wheels in the message? Oh, so many of them, because we started listening to them on tapes, right? And now it's on CDs, right? It's a wheel that is rotating. Right? And here's the prophet himself telling his disciple, his church, it says, say what the prophet says. Right? Is that right? Amen. He said that. He says, tell only the things that are on the tapes. Right? Hallelujah. And now Elisha is looking at the quote and he's like, so what should I do now? Shall I just repeat it? Shall I just, you know, learn it by heart and then quote it, you know. He's puzzled, you know. But I'm so grateful for that gene in Elisha who said, my Lord is a living Lord. And your Lord, you, your soul, is a living soul. And Elisha's soul was also a living soul. Hallelujah. And he says, my Lord is living. My Lord is progressing. I'll not stay in Gilgal. Hallelujah. In other words, the prophet says, say what the prophet says, say what the tape says. Yes, but not in a parrot manner. It's not a parrot age, it's an eagle age. Hallelujah. And now here, Elisha says, I love those tapes. I can't live without them. This is food for me. This is where the quickening power comes from. Hallelujah. This is what brings the rapturing faith to me. Yes, but I'll not stay on the tapes only. Hallelujah. I will follow the prophet on. Because there's a more of it, right? There's a progression of it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He says, I have a living Lord. Hallelujah. I have, your soul is living. Why your soul is living? You're moving and I should stay here? No, my soul is also living. I should go on with you. Hallelujah. So Elijah, in other words, he made a test. It was a test. Hallelujah. If you read, Brother Branham explains it in some of the messages as well. He was testing. He was training the prophet. He was training Elijah. How shall he react now on this quote here? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, somebody will bump into the quote and say, no. You can't. Why are you preaching about, for example, why are you preaching about Abigail from the Bible? Don't you have a search program? You type it in. The prophet never preached from Abigail. Never used her as an example or an image. Then it's not inspired then. I mean, if the prophet didn't preach from there, I won't preach from there. Hallelujah. But Abigail is a perfect type of the bride. Hallelujah. You probably heard your pastor preach or somebody else preach on Abigail. Hallelujah. How she came and she was the wise woman whose first husband died. Hallelujah. To marry another who was a king. And that's us. Hallelujah. That's us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. So somebody bumps into the quote and stays in Gilgal. But somebody understands what Elijah was meaning by it. Because the Lord is living and Elijah's soul is living and Elisha's soul is living too. And our soul is alive too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he followed him on to another spot. Followed him to Bethel, right? And as we were reading the scripture, you've probably noticed that Elijah, however stern he was, he never rebuked Elisha for not listening to him. Because he actually got the idea. He passed the test. He passed the exam. He passed the quote. He passed the page. Hallelujah. Because we know all scriptures are inspired, right? They are inspired by the Spirit, right? The Spirit of God. So every page here, every line, just like Brother George was saying, every word is mine. Why? Because behind every single scripture, every single word here, there's another dimension hanging here. The 3D or whatever you call it, right? Hallelujah. Or the magic eye, you know, some pictures, you know, that you don't see it right here, but you have to look from a certain angle and then, boom, the whole picture is open in there, you know. Hallelujah. But this is what happens with the Bible. There's a whole dimension of the Spirit behind every single page of it. But there should be a Spirit right here on this side of the page. And then we can break through the page into another dimension. Praise, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The same thing happens with the message. It's not a conglomeration of quotes. It's not an encyclopedia. You've never heard Brother Branham, you know, teach it so well, so doctrinized, you know, so that he would have an introduction and then thought number one, conclusion, thought number two, conclusion, thought number three, conclusion, and the last conclusion, and a summary, you know, like in a PhD or in a master's thesis or whatever. He had bits and pieces here and there because he was led from Gilgal to Bethel and then to Jericho and then over Jordan, back to Jordan, you know, hallelujah. He was walking and preaching in strange ways. Hallelujah. So you need to have the Spirit of God to break through the page into another dimension, to understand what the prophet actually meant there. Because otherwise we will have this quote here, and then you'll have another quote here, and you're like, man, these are contradicting one another. They are not, because if you break through into another dimension, you'll see they're meaning the same thing. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, why is it done to confuse the wise and the prudent?
Amen.
It is. Hallelujah. Because there was a bunch of people in every single of those points that stayed there, that never went to follow the ministry of Elijah all the way. Hallelujah. And so we know then the Lord sends him to Bethel, you know. What is Bethel? Bethel is very well known. It's a place which is a house of God.
Amen.
It's a church.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah. This is Bethel here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when they came to Bethel, Elijah the prophet turns over to his disciple with his stern look and says again, and he says, you know what? I give you another message here. I give you another quote to think about now. Hallelujah. Every single person has to have a home church, Brother Bible says, right? Hallelujah. He has to have a Sunday to go somewhere, right? You have to be at your post of duty, right? Hallelujah. And it's a good revelation. It's a wonderful revelation. Just like a revelation of the tapes. Because some don't even have a revelation to listen to the tapes. They haven't even been to Gilgal. Hallelujah. But here's another progression here, Bethel, right? And the Bethel says you have to be a part of the body. You have to be a part. You have to be somewhere in the bone system, just like we spoke yesterday, right? You have to fill out a certain place, a certain position, right? Hallelujah. And Elijah says, you know what? Now you have a local church here. Stay here. Stay here. I mean, stay here in the sense of just coming to church. Just coming to church. And sitting in the church. And nothing else. No other progression. Right? And some people caught this and they're coming to church for 15 years, 20 years. And they have not progressed from Bethel anywhere else.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's not the thought, please understand me right, I'm not saying leave your local church. No, absolutely not. Just like don't listen to the tapes. No. Do listen to the tapes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do your homework. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Have a local church. Do have a local church. Recognize your local pastor. Hallelujah. Who's feeding you? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
But Elisha says, yeah, I know. I got the revelation. Yes. But I want to follow further than that.
Amen.
I want to follow further than that.
Amen.
And the folks in Bethel, the good church there, they said, you know what? You're following this prophet Elijah here, but do you know that there will be a rapture? You know, we're preaching the rapture in this church. We're preaching rapturing faith here in the church. And Elisha turns and says, I know the quote too.
Amen.
I've read this message too.
Amen.
But hold your peace. Why is that?
Amen.
Why is that? Is it wrong to preach about the rapture? No.
Amen.
It's different from other churches. It is. But what's wrong in them preaching about it? And Elisha refused to stay in that church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says, no, I'll not be satisfied by just having a local church. No, I'm not satisfied by just having a local seat. I'm not satisfied by just saying I've joined the church. I have to be born into the church, right? Hallelujah. And then, hallelujah, Elijah says, you know what? The Lord is calling me further. You stay here. You stay with this revelation. But the Lord is calling me to Jericho. Hallelujah. And Jericho means moon. The moon. What's the moon? It's the church, right? It's a reflection of the sun. The church in the meaning of the called out.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is what Brother Branham says. Ecclesia is. Church is. It's the called out people.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah. And Brother Branham, you know, preaches away and he says, We should go out of the denominations, right? You should go out. We should come out. Leave. Leave Babylon. Leave the harlot of Babylon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he preaches that to Elisha. And Elisha says, amen. Yes, hallelujah. I should go out. I should leave all my denominational ideas. I should leave them. Hallelujah. And then Elijah gives another test. Hallelujah. And he says, you stay here on this revelation of just going out. Are you called out? Yes, I am called out. Tell me your testimony. Oh, the testimony is great. You know, there were signs and miracles, and we were crossing the Red Sea, and you know, and the Egyptians died, you know, and things happened when I became a believer, and I came out and I went out. Hallelujah. Amen. And the prophet says, why don't you stay here? You want to stay here? Elisha says, if you're progressing, I'm progressing too. Amen. It's not enough, he says, for me to just go out. I need to go in.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Not only Jericho going out. Yes, we've left the denomination. And you know there were so many miracles and so many testimonies. We've just left it by the message of the seventh angel. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But are you in?
Amen.
Have you come in?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, Elisha checked himself. Do I have the keys of the rapture if I've just came out? No. I don't. I need to follow him on to get the key of the rapture. It's not enough to stay here and says, we've been to denomination so many years, and then the Lord revealed it to us, send us a dream, send us a prophecy, send us this. And the prophet led us out to where? To the wilderness. We still have the promised land.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Elisha, he wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to follow on with the progressive revelation, right, that Elijah was giving out to him. And now, imagine, but in the same place, there were people who said, we are preaching the rapture here. Do you know your master will be raptured today? He says, yes, I do. I know the code. I know. But you hold your peace. Again. Hallelujah. And now they're progressing to Jordan. And we know what Jordan is. It's death, right?
Amen.
It's death to yourself, Brother Branham says, right? And they're coming to Jordan. And we see the same group, which was called the sons of the prophets, or Brother Branham calls them a school of the prophets. Hallelujah. And we can see their behavior. We can see their revelation now. They are preaching about the message. They are preaching about the rapture. But they are standing afar off. Somebody is standing by Elijah, looking right into his mouth. What's the next word? What's the next point we're going to? What's the next revelation I'll get? Hallelujah. And they have a notebook. Hallelujah. And they are writing it down. Or a recorder, okay? Hallelujah. It's not a church service. It's just a fellowship. But I'll just record it too. Because there may be a revelation too of this anointed man of God here. Hallelujah. But somebody is standing, the Bible says clearly, afar off. A school of the prophets, the sons of the prophets, 50 of them. The majority, right? And they are standing there and they are interested in what's going on. And they say, we're watching you. We're noticing. Yeah, yeah. Well, there's an anointing in that church. Yes, there is. Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's an anointing worship. Yeah. Ah, when the preacher comes to preach, oh, it's an anointing. But we'll see. We'll see. Do you think what's going to happen now? Well, the other man said, I think he'll just part Jordan now and pass over himself, and Elisha will stay here. Oh, that's a good opinion, brother. Yes, wonderful. Hallelujah. What's your opinion now? I think they'll just stand by there, pray, and come back to us because we're the majority. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful, you know. The school of the prophets, the sons of the... They have their own opinion. But they do preach about the message. They do preach about the rapture. Right? But they're standing afar off. They're not in the midst of the whirlwind. They're not in the midst of where the Lord is moving. They're afar off. Hallelujah. But we can see one man whom we can identify ourselves with. It was Elisha. Hallelujah. And he was standing there. No, I'm not staying here. It's a good revelation. I believe it. I'll stand on it, but I'll fall. Hallelujah. And they're standing by Jordan. Here's Elijah. And he's hitting it with his mantle again. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. And they are crossing Jordan.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Elisha is looking at the mantle again. And he's like, oh, this mantle has done something to me before.
Yeah. Amen.
This is a special mantle. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because when it touched me, something happened.
Amen.
I want that mantle.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want that mantle.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want it not only to touch me, you know. The Lord touched me 20 years ago. I want it now.
Amen.
I want it all.
Amen.
I want it on me.
Amen.
I want that mantle on me. Hallelujah. Because whatever Elijah had, Elisha wanted it. Hallelujah. And as they're crossing Jordan, imagine the situation. They've just crossed this river. I don't know how wide it was at that point, but they've crossed. And the hewn voices ceased at that point. There were no schools of the prophets over there. There were no human preaching. There was no human revelation there. Hallelujah. All of them remained on the other side of Jordan. And as they passed, here's Elijah and you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And what are they doing? They're communicating. They're talking. They're fellowshipping, right? Hallelujah. This is what you're doing when you're reading Brother Branham's book. Hallelujah. Brother Branham's message. You're talking to the spirit of Elijah. What is the spirit of Elijah? The spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. And you're talking to him. And the Spirit of the Lord, hallelujah, through that anointed man, hallelujah, turns when they just crossed Jordan, when there's you and Elijah alone, and he's talking, and he says, tell me what you want. Tell me what you want. I'll give it to you. Not God will give it to you. I will give it to you. And now we can see Brother Branham in so many instances telling us those simple stories. Hallelujah. Oh, not just simple stories, but these are examples and keys for us of the rapture, of the third pool. Hallelujah. And he's telling the stories of the squirrels, you know, and he's just, you know, walking in that wilderness there, in that forest, and he's just tells you, squirrel, up here on the sycamore tree where you've never been before. Hallelujah. And he comes back to the house of Sister Hetty Wright. Hallelujah. And then when the supernatural happens, he says, I give you your sons. I give you your sons. What's that? That's the spirit of Elijah talking to the Elishas of that hour.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Have the faith. We will follow him. Hallelujah. Some other folks didn't even believe those stories in his own church. But there were people who did and followed him and believed it. Hallelujah. And he, all of a sudden, he tells the story of a storm in Colorado, and he's walking there unshaved. He says, and here's this the sandwich. He says, all you know, glued in my pocket. You know, one brother gave it to me, and it became a mess, you know. And he says, I'm walking there with my rifle, and here's the snow coming. And the Lord in that experience says, would you want to take a walk with me? Stop the storm?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. What's that? That's Elijah.
Amen.
Talking to Elishas. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Teaching them the principles of the rapture.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When he speaks about his wife and her healing, how her tumor was gone. Hallelujah. He speaks about a little fishy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, what is that? That's Elijah teaching Elishas the keys of the rapture.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll give you what you want. And he says, oh, this is my hour now. This is my. What should I ask for? And just like Sister Hetty Wright, she asks for the right thing.
Hallelujah.
For the eternal thing. And he says, oh, from the very moment that mantle touched me, and I felt that spirit of Elijah touching me. Hallelujah. I want that spirit. Hallelujah. I want the same spirit. I want the very same thing Elijah has on me. Plus a double portion. I want more of it. Hallelujah. So this was the motive that was actually driving Elisha to go from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho, to Jordan, over Jordan, because he wanted that power, hallelujah, in a double form in himself. Whatever Elijah practiced, he wanted it. Whatever Elijah had, he wanted it. And as they're fellowshipping, hallelujah, all of a sudden he's taken away in the rapture. And the mantle falls down. And what's the reaction of Elijah? He's seen it, right? And Elijah, mind you, he says, oh, you've asked for a hard thing, you know. Elijah is not giving away things so easily. Hallelujah. You have to perceive the mystery. Hallelujah. And he is just turning around and says, you know what? There's one condition. See me going, you get it. You don't see the revelation, you stay. Hallelujah. The stern spirit of Elijah again. Why? Because he knew Elisha was a prophet and would catch it. Hallelujah. He wasn't compromising, just like Jesus. When he says, the 70 left after he preached on the body of the Son of Man, right? And the blood of the Son of Man. Hallelujah. About the feeding on the body word of the Son of Man. And they left because it was too deep for them. They didn't agree with the pastor. You know, Jesus was the pastor of the church. Yes, Brother Branham says that Judas was the trustee. Hallelujah. Peter was the trustee. Right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So they didn't like it. They left it. And so Jesus, he was never ashamed. He turned to the 12 and says, you want to stay at Gilgal? Do stay. I'm going. Hallelujah. And Peter said, I don't know what he means by this, but what I know, he has the words of eternal life. We'll follow him anyway. Hallelujah. Even if you understand the quote and don't understand, you still want to follow. Because, hallelujah, the Lord will reveal it to you later, maybe. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. So Jesus was not ashamed to say the same thing. He says, you don't want to follow, you stay. You stay. Hallelujah. Elijah said the same thing. You want to get the key of the rapture? See me going. See, right? Perceive, understand the key of the rapture. Hallelujah. Because, you know, we're living in a special time, a very special time. Because Brother Branham says, when you read the rapture, he says there were three major raptures in the Bible. There was Enoch that was walking with God and he was not. Or he was not found. Right? Hallelujah. He was walking with God and he was not found. His body was changed and he was just the seventh after Adam, after the fall. Right? Hallelujah. And the name of Enoch means consecrated. Hallelujah. He had such a consecrated life. He was walking closer to God, closer to God, closer to God every time. Hallelujah. Enoch was a special man. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Enoch was a special man because he could not only see the coming judgment on the earth, the flood, because he called his son Methuselah, which means when he dies, the flood will come. You know that, right? And Methuselah lived for 969 years, the longest in the Bible. That shows us the long suffering of God before the judgment strikes. And this is what Peter says in his epistle. And he says, judge not that that you're waiting over the coming of the Lord is something over tarrying or whatever. It's a long suffering of God. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So this was the long suffering of God that he put in the heart of Enoch to call his son this name. Hallelujah. As a sign. Praise the Lord. But when we look at the book of Jude, we can see Enoch prophesying, right? Hallelujah. He was a prophet. And he was prophesying about what? He said, 10,000 of the saints, hallelujah. I can see them. I can see them judging the wicked, right? He not only saw the close judgment in 500 years or whatever, he also saw the judgment that is coming now. Hallelujah. He had the vision, the full vision of humanity from the back of the mind of God, right at the end to the great tribulation. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This was Enoch and his revelation. Amen. And he built the pyramid. And I'm sure you've heard a lot about the pyramid. Yeah. Hallelujah. Brother Andrew has pulled every single part of the pyramid for you. Hallelujah. In details to show you how that reflects the revelation. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We had Brother Andrew preaching it in our churches there about the pyramids. We enjoyed it so much because Brother Bram says the first Bible was the stars and the second one was the pyramid. So Enoch had the full revelation of the Bible. Hallelujah. The full revelation of the Bible. He built the pyramid, right? Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, this Bible was written by many people, right? Hallelujah. It was written down by many people, but the pyramid was written by one man and his revelation. Imagine the time he was living in and his magnitude of revelation. Hallelujah. Oh, and he built it so that there was no shadow cast from that particular building. Because he was looking at what? He was looking at the heavenly Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Which had no shadow, no darkness. Why? Because the Lamb is the light there. So he saw the plan of redemption then, right? Hallelujah. He didn't put the capstone, Brother Branham says, on top. Why? Because he knew about Christ. Christ is coming, right? Imagine the magnitude of his revelation going through the ages. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The interesting part in the Bible is that the first man called Enoch in the Bible is not from the lineage of Adam. If you read closer, you'll see that the first son of Cain was named Enoch. Enoch, the same, very same name. No other meaning, no nothing. Consecrated, right? Hallelujah. Just a little thought to drop here. And Cain went from the presence of the Lord, built a city, married a wife. Brother Bram says he chose his wife himself. He chose where to go himself. In the land of Nod, which means wandering, going in circles, in uncertainty. Hallelujah. And Cain built his own city and called it Enoch. Hallelujah. Imagine this impersonation of the devil right away. He wants to be the first one. He wants to overtake all the time. Right? And he says, I will build my city. I'll build my own career. I'll build my own job. Hallelujah. And I'll call it Enoch. Imagine the city was a beautiful city for sure. An adorned city. Wasn't it? Because when he was giving out a sacrifice, Brother Bram says it was a beautiful sacrifice. He was a master of beauty. Hallelujah. Imagine a city he built. It was a beautiful city. An adorned city. An impersonation of another adorned city from Revelation, right? From the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. The bride is adorned. Hallelujah. And she's the city. She is the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And he's impersonated from the start. Oh, hallelujah. But we know Enoch was walking with God and he was taken. The second one who was walking with God and was taken was Elijah. The third one who was walking with God but had to go through death as well, resurrection, and then the rapture was Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can count three raptures, right? Three people raptured on this earth, from this earth, to another dimension. Atoms changed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But we're living in a time when there'll be more than three people raptured at the same time. Of different age groups. Children included. Amen. Children included. Amen. Imagine the kind of faith. Hallelujah. Amen. That should be here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Of those that are following the man ministry who has the key of the rapture. Imagine the thirst. Imagine the interest of getting the keys. I'm not only interested in getting the key for myself. I have a wife. I want her to go to the rapture. Hallelujah. I have children. Amen. Hallelujah. I want them to go to the rapture too. I have family. I have friends. I want them to go to the rapture too. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Imagine the strength of the revelation. Hallelujah. Oh, this Elisha should have. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. And as he sees him leave, you know, his reaction is, Elisha's reaction is, He says, Father, my Father.
Amen.
Didn't he have a father? He did. Amen. And his name was Shephath.
Amen.
The Bible even mentions him. What did he do with his father? He left him. Left him with the oxen there. Left him with the field. Hallelujah. But he is professing now, just like Brother Branham. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even in the very last of his message, communion,
Amen.
He says, one day, I realized I wasn't a son of Charles and Ella Branham.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm a son of God.
I
was born from another lineage.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then he started birthing other sons into the same lineage.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So Elisha is looking at Elijah leaving and says, you're my father.
Amen.
You're the lineage I was born from.
Amen.
You'll be the one that will represent me
Amen.
On the third heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the sixth dimension. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll put you on a higher place there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because why? Because you were a leader on earth.
Amen.
Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It says, you're my father.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to say the ministry of William Branham was my father.
Amen.
He was my father.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You'll say, Abraham is the father of faith. Oh, yes.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. I do believe that.
Amen.
Yes, but my part of the lineage is the William Branham lineage.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. His message birthed me. Hallelujah. It wasn't the Methodist. It wasn't the Pentecostal lineage. It wasn't the Catholic where I was. Hallelujah. This lineage is the son of Shaphat. Hallelujah. But I want to go by the lineage of William Branham. Hallelujah. And he says, oh, you're my father. He is the chariot of Israel. You're the general. Right? You're the chief authority. Hallelujah. From the west. Hallelujah. You're the one. Hallelujah. Oh, you're the one to whom the wig of the judge came. The supreme authority. Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And this is what Elisha is admitting boldly. Hallelujah. This is what we're admitting boldly too.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
His ministry is what birthed us. He's our father in faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In other ages it was Columba. In other ages it was Martin Luther. In other ages it was John Wesley. But in our lineage it's William Branham.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he says, you're leaving. But I admit you are my father. I admit you are the general of the chariots of Israel. Hallelujah. And boom, comes the mantle back. Hallelujah. And in order to have the mantle, every single step here, every single detail has a meaning. Elisha had to rent his own mantle into two pieces so that he couldn't sew them back together. Hallelujah. His own teaching, his own understanding, whatever was in Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, whatever. He says, I'll pull this apart so that I would wear the full mantle of Elijah. And I'm sure you've read all the messages like the second-handed robe. Brother Branham said, Elisha had no right to cut the mantle to fit himself.
Amen.
He says he had to slim himself in. Right? Hallelujah. Or to fatten himself up to wear that mantle. Hallelujah. Because we don't have the right to change anything in this message. We have to change ourselves for this message to fit on us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. He rent those garments into pieces. He took the mantle and he went. And he started doing what? He started doing the same things Elijah had. Hallelujah. This is what he was craving for. Brothers, sisters, I'll tell you, this is what we are craving for too. We're not satisfied by just church life, by just revelation, by just something, you know, by going on trips, by missionary work or whatever. We want to have what Elijah had. Hallelujah. We want to have that same power in a double portion. Because we're living in a wicked age where we need the double portion. Hallelujah. So he takes the mantle and he hits the waters. And it works. Hallelujah. It works. And so he crosses Jordan with that mantle. Hallelujah. And imagine how, hallelujah, how confident he was then. As he crossed Jordan, he was so confident. This power is on me now. And it works. not only it does work, it works in the same manner it worked with the first sheaf offering, with the father of the lineage, Elijah the prophet, William Branham. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not only quoting his quotes, I'm not only enjoying the songs he enjoyed. Hallelujah. I have the power, hallelujah, the anointing with the understanding too. Because as he crossed over Jordan, we can see the same group of people who were afar off. You know, the same thing happens every age. There's a group of people who are so closely following the steps of Elijah, following everything, wanting everything he had. But there's a group of observers. Yes, they were observing. They were waiting. Something's going to happen. We'll stream this church service once again. See, is it something happening? No, nothing is happening. Oh, something happening again. He's coming back from there. A miracle again. Oh, man, he has Elijah's mantle. What does that mean? The prophecy came to pass. Elijah was taken up. And they come and they have all the full respect, right? And they even confess, they even admit, they even acknowledge, they say, the spirit of the prophet Elijah is now on this bold young man whose name is Elisha. Oh, we do respect this ministry. Oh, it's a strong ministry. Hey, folks, 50 of us, 1, 2, 3, we are bowing. And they bowed before him, right? In respect, right? They respected it so much. They saw the power working now in this man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then they say, now we are strong men. We are active men now. There are 50 of us, you know. And you know, our current revelation on the rapture is that the prophet was taken up. Hallelujah. He was raptured. Amen. Just like we believe. And then the Lord dropped him back on earth. Oh my goodness. Goodness gracious, you've been preaching on the rapture so many years in Gilgal and Bethel and in Jericho, and you don't even have a revelation of the rapture. You have a wrong conception of the rapture. Brother Branham says the rapture itself is a revelation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And Elisha comes in and they are preaching their revelation at him. We know the rapture will come this and that way, and we're going to the mountains, you know. Bless us. He says, you're not going to the mountains. Don't go to the mountains. Because he not only had the quote, he not only had the written text. Yes, the master will be taken up. He saw him being taken up. He was there. He was the active participant of that work.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He had the spirit on him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And they didn't. And they're saying, we're going to look for Elijah now. We're going to look for him over there in the mountain. He says, don't go.
Amen.
This is a paradox.
Amen.
How come you come the first minute you meet this man and you admit you're a son of God. You're a man of God. You're anointed by the spirit of Elijah, the prophetic ministry. And now, here's my revelation about it. And the man of God says, your revelation is wrong.
Amen.
No, it's not wrong. It's wrong. No, it's not wrong. We're strong men. How come? We're the majority. We're the 50. We'll go. You want to be in the permissive will? You go. And they went. And they did go. 3 days. Walking, tramping around this mountain. Right? Just like Brother George said. Hallelujah. I am tired. Tramping on this mountain. Looking for Elijah in the mountains, valleys, whatever. And they didn't find the spirit of Elijah. Nothing there. They just went aside from the message. Looking for inspiration in the wrong places. Where Elijah says, don't go.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the same thing happens, you know. But mind you, now it's not even the prophet William Branham. It's Elisha. Yeah. It's the church. Amen. It's the anointed ministries in the church who have the spirit of Elijah on them. Amen. And the people come to them and it says, I want to get married. This is my man. Please bless me. It says, you don't do that. Oh, hey, brother, hey, pastor, you know, I have a job here. I'll change my job, you know, and I'll skip Sundays and whatever. But I believe it's the will of the Lord. You don't go there, brother. Elisha says, with the anointing on him. He says, no, but I have a revelation. You want to go into the permissive will? Go on. 3 days of vain walking. 3 days wasted. Hallelujah. Oh, where are they coming back to? Back to the same pastor. When they're wrong, they're coming back to the same pastor. And he says, didn't I tell you not to go? Hallelujah. So we have the same things going on now. On our scale. Brothers, sisters, this is not a historical something. This is not only on the global scale. This is happening right here in your families and your churches. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The first minute they admit you're a pastor, the next minute they don't trust you as a pastor. Hallelujah. Oh, brother. Hallelujah. And then he had all kinds of problems with the sons of the prophets. All kinds of them. They had wrong water. They had wrong soil. Hallelujah. They raised their children in the wrong way. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They had death in the pot. Yes. They are throwing tools and whatever of the message in the wrong places. Amen. The axe, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, he had all those. And he had to fix it. Because why? Because he had the spirit of Elijah on him. We believe, and I believe, and I think you believe too, there are men anointed on the face of this earth by the Spirit of Elijah. Hallelujah. And you do recognize them. Hallelujah. But please do believe them too. Hallelujah. Trust in them as well. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Brother Bram says, stand with your pastor. Why? Because he will take you back over to the rapture, he says. He will lead you all over, all the way to the rapture. Hallelujah. How come if you don't have a pastor, you're going to the rapture? Amen. You're not even fitting the quote. Not even the meaning of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we see what's going on. The spirit of Elijah is on him. He has the vision. He sees the full picture. Amen. The others don't. They are only onlookers. They are observers. Why? Because we, even now, the age of Laodicea, where we're living now, it's the age of observers. Amen. Yes? Amen. Because the main tool every home should have in Laodicea is a television set. Amen. Right? Amen. Oh man, you can see this young man wearing all the sports gear, you know, all the sports wear, all the sports shoes, boots, whatever, Nike, a Reebok, whatever, and he's a sportsman, you know, and he's walking like a sportsman, you know, and when they ask him, hey, whatever game is popular here, you know, soccer or something, and he says, have you watched this last soccer game, you know, and it was so powerful, you know, this Manchester United, whatever, won, you know. Amen. Have you played in the game? No, I was watching it. And he's a sportsman. Right? And he's wearing sports gear. Why? Because Laodicea is erasing the limits of the people of being participants and being active or active participants or being just observers of the same thing. Brothers and sisters, this is the same in the church. There's always an active, hallelujah, there's always an active group of participants. Oh, but we don't want to be onlookers. None of us. Because those observers didn't have a revelation. They have only a quote. But when it came to practice, do practice your revelation. Okay, we'll go to the mountains. And they wasted their time. And they wasted Elisha's time as well. Two. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. But I would want to close, you know, with another thought that that Brother Branham brings out in one of his messages called The Paradox. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he relates to us a certain vision he saw.
Amen.
A certain very interesting vision.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the message of The Paradox, he says, and I looked where in front of me, and I was coming down to the Jordan.
Amen.
Elijah coming down to the Jordan.
Amen.
Looked like I was standing on the map of Palestine.
Amen.
What is a map? It's a set of names of cities, geographical locations, directions, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Looked like I was standing on the map of Palestine, and I was coming down to Jordan. And it seemed like I could hear the song, I'm going down to the Jordan. Someone was singing it. And as I drew near the river, I looked back and seen which way I had come.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I was 2/3 of the way there to the Jordan.
Amen.
The majority of the way was behind him.
Amen.
Just like when Elijah was passing over to Jordan, the majority of the way, Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and up to Jordan. That was the majority of the way. The last bit was left, right? And he's coming to Jordan, hallelujah. And I looked across Jordan, and I said, oh, praise the Lord, just on the other side is where all the promises lay. That's why Elisha couldn't stay in Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, because all the promises were across Jordan. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. And Brother Branham says, oh, praise the Lord, just on the other side is where all the promises lay. Every promise lays in the promised land. Hallelujah. He sees across Jordan and then says, and then I came to myself.
Amen.
The visual left him.
Amen.
And he sat there for another while. And he says, then as I sat there a little bit beside this chair, then all of a sudden, here it come back again.
Amen.
What's the it? It's the vision.
Amen.
It's the same vision.
Amen.
Right? Map of Palestine, coming to Jordan, hallelujah, it's coming back to him. But it's coming back in a different picture. Hallelujah. And Brother Bram says, I'll just relate because it takes another 10 paragraphs to read this, but you remember this vision. Brother Bram says, there was a big fear among the people, and he was standing with another brother, hallelujah, and he had the rattle in the bush there, hallelujah, and what it was? Hallelujah. It was a mamba. It was an African snake, he says. The most poisonous snake on the planet. Hallelujah. It was approaching him. Hallelujah. It couldn't bite him, but it started approaching his brother. Right? Hallelujah. Oh, and when he saw him, the snake approaching his brother, and he says, mamba, the serpent, is certainly death. It's certainly sin. Brother Branham says. He starts even to interpret it for us. Hallelujah. And when he says, the mama was moving towards that brother, he says, oh God, have mercy on my brother. I said, if that serpent ever strikes him, it'll kill him. And just then the serpent turned to me, and when I said it and looked at me again, and a voice came from above me and said, you have been given power to bind him, the worst or any. And I said, well, God, what must I do? Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is beyond Jordan.
Amen.
He's crossed over Jordan. 2/3 were showed on the map. Now he is beyond Jordan.
Amen.
And the Lord is saying, tell me what you want.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, God, what must I do? He said, there's one thing you must do. You must be more sincere.
Amen. Amen.
You must be more sincere.
Hallelujah.
He repeated. I said, well, God, forgive me for my insincerity. And let me have sincerity. And when I raised up my hands to him again, there was a great something came over me, just lifted me up. Seemed like that my whole body was charged with something. And I looked at the serpent, and then he started towards me, and I said, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind you. And the serpent, a blue smoke flew out of him, and he curled up and things. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Imagine Brother Branham, even in a dream, the voice told him, if you are more sincere than what you are now, this power is available to you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, I don't talk about my own sincerity. Brother Branham was so sincere.
Amen.
Even cancer didn't stand.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
The angel told him, the Lord told him, says if you are sincere enough and you'll persuade the people, then hallelujah.
Amen.
Then even cancer won't stand. And so many times cancer was defeated in his ministry. And now in 61, Brother Branham hears this voice, you are not sincere enough. You should be more sincere.
Amen.
I mean, I don't even compare my sincerity with Brother Branham's.
Amen.
But if the Lord told him, don't be satisfied with your own sincerity.
Amen.
Because you can. You can just be so satisfied where you are.
Amen.
And say, hey, I've reached the point. I'm perfect now. Hey, everything works out perfect now. Hallelujah. My ministry is perfect. Whatever I'm singing is perfect. Whatever I'm doing is perfect. Whatever I'm thinking is perfect. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the Lord says, don't ever stop in your sincerity.
Amen.
There's always a way to go in your sincerity. There's always a way closer to that.
Amen.
What is that? It's actually the key of the rapture.
Amen.
I'll tell you, it's the key of the rapture. Because Enoch wasn't satisfied by any step he was making. Because Enoch was walking with God. Walking with God, right? Walking means one point, another point, another point, another point, another point, another point. Elijah, who was raptured, what did he do? He was coming from one point, another progressive revelation, another level of sincerity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, and the Lord says to Elijah, and he speaks to his prophet Elijah, William Branham, and he says, you're not sincere enough. And Brother Branham had the humility. The kids were singing today about it. Humble yourself before the Lord your God. Hallelujah. He had the humility to say, Lord, I do admit, I'm not sincere enough. I'm not progressed enough. There's a progress that I need to do more. Hallelujah. I need to be more sincere. I need to be closer. I need to be more consecrated like Enoch. Hallelujah. I need to walk further just like Elijah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I need to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Who's also raptured. He says, I don't even do anything if my Father doesn't show me where to go. Hallelujah. And he was raptured. Remember how he was raptured? Oh, when he was being raptured right into the sky, hallelujah, all the people were staring, right, and they were just looking at that point. Oh man, this is a miracle. Our master has just left to another dimension. His body changed. Hallelujah. And they stood in the same Gilgal or Bethel, whatever. So that the angels had to come down and says, you don't stand here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Didn't he tell you what to do?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're looking for him to come back? He will.
Amen.
And he will come back in the same way as he came out, right? Because he was taken up by a cloud into heaven.
Amen.
This is what the Bible says. How is he coming back? By a cloud. Hallelujah. Over there. You can see the picture of this. Hallelujah. Brother Bram says, I was in the constellation of those angels. Hallelujah. I was in the cloud. It is the supreme judge coming back. The head coming back. He says, you're not looking at this cloud at the right angle. Hallelujah. Oh, we want to look at the cloud at the right angle. We don't want to look at it at the left angle. We want to look at it from the prophet's angle. Hallelujah. And so he has come back to do what? Hallelujah. To rapture the remainder of his church. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. And here Brother Bram says, the voice says to him twice. He says, you need to be more sincere. And then at the end of the vision, when he bound the mamba, then he unbound it again. And then at the end he says, and then when he did that, the voice said, now you must be more sincere than what you are to do this. Then it left me. This is the words the Lord left him with in this vision. You need to be more sincere than this. And then any mamba you can bind.
Amen.
What's the mamba? You can call it the pale horse rider, which is death, whose name is death, right? You can call it the anointing of Laodicea, right? Hallelujah. which is religious too, which is political too, which is demonic too. Hallelujah. And it spreads around, and all those mambas are crawling into your family. They want to devour not only you, but your close brother as well. Hallelujah. They want to devour your wife. They want to devour your children. Hallelujah. They may not hit you. Just like Brother Bram says, it kept coming, but it couldn't. It couldn't bite him. Hallelujah. But he had the power to protect his brother from the mamba. Oh, praise the Lord. And all those mambas are crawling in just slowly, you know, and they're breathing death right into our face. They're breathing death so unexpectedly, so cunningly from somewhere. An inspiration comes from here. A revelation comes from here. A dream comes from there in the form of a mamba. It comes right into our worship as well. Right into our songs as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some songs, you know, that we sing, they are actually to be buried. Hallelujah. Because they do belong to another age. They don't even carry the revelation of this message. Right? Hallelujah. In our church, we just had to throw out a whole bunch of them, you know. Oh, praise the Lord, because we need inspired songs which inspire people and get them ready for the preaching of the message. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, because we can see the same principle in the Bible as well. The change of revelation changes worship. If you look at Revelation, just briefly, you know, Revelation 4, there was a worship of the 24 elders, which were, Brother Bram says, redeemed people. Right? They were not angelic beings. They were people, redeemed people. 24 elders, and they were just worshiping, and they were worshiping. And what? You can read their worship there in chapter 4. It says, for thou hast created the things that you have created, and all the things you have created for thy good pleasure, and things like this, right? They're admitting his God, they're admitting his creator. This is charismatic worship, you know? This is what they do. Sometimes they said, he, who's the he? You know, you don't even know who's the he in there. Maybe they're singing about a love story, you know, about a man. But not to divert from the thought, their worship was this, right? They admitted he was God. They admitted he was a creator. They admitted he had a will, right? Amen. But then, when you see the same people, 24 elders, in chapter 5 of Revelation, after the Lamb has broken the seals, their worship has changed because their revelation has changed. Hallelujah. And they're saying, worthy is the Lamb that have just pulled out all those seals from the book. Hallelujah. And we all bow down before him because he has redeemed us from every tribe, from every nation. Hallelujah. What is that? They are singing about what has just been done, right? Because the Lamb has just broken the seals and they're singing about it. Hallelujah. This was the recent message, right? Hallelujah, this is where the songwriters come in, right? Hallelujah, we recently got a song from Brother George there. Hallelujah, an inspired song. I'm sure somebody preached before it about Ruth before he wrote it. Hallelujah. Oh, because he caught the vision and he put it in the song format, just like Brother Andrew said. And somebody then gets a blessing from there. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, and this is the worship we enjoy because this is the worship of the hour. Hallelujah. They never sang the old song again. Hallelujah. Oh, and every single age had an anointing with it in the songs, you know, because Paul and Silas, they went to prison. You know, I'm sure they didn't sing the song of Moses. I'm sure they didn't sing the song of Deborah. Amen. Hallelujah. They sang something that would crumble the walls of the prison. Hallelujah. And as they started singing it under the lion anointing, boom, the walls went. Because the Spirit was right in the song, in the worship. Hallelujah. Then we go to the ox anointing, and there were all those people that were going to the arenas and coliseums, you know, to be slain. What were they doing when they were going? They were singing. Hallelujah. It gives them strength. Them, their wives, their children, going right into the mouths of the lions. Oh, going right into the face of death and singing. Hallelujah. They were burnt at stake and they were doing what? Singing. Hallelujah. Because this was the singing that gave them power.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then you go to the John Wesley's age, the man age. Hallelujah. You can see all the kinds of anointed men. John Wesley, he was preaching so many times. He crossed on his horseback more than I did on my car in my lifetime. Amen. Hallelujah. And then, hallelujah, and his ministry was so powerful that Charles Wesley wrote the most of the songs. He's in the record book of songs, of the number of songs he has written. Why? Because the ministry of John Wesley was so powerful. His own brother. Hallelujah. You take Moody from the same age and Ira Sankey from the same age. They were going together, you know. Hallelujah. As Moody was preaching, Ira Sankey was singing. Hallelujah. There was a case when Moody was preaching about the 99 sheep and one left, you know, and he was preaching about it, preaching away to the crowd of people, and then says to his friend Ira, he says, "You come, Sankey, and sing a song us about it." He says, "I don't have a song. You create it." Hallelujah. And as he started playing this instrument and singing, the song about the 99 sheep just came out of him fresh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And people got converted. Hallelujah. Oh, we're enjoying those testimonies, but we're living under the eagle age.
Amen.
Which the same thing happens. What did Brother Branham do on the wings of the Snow White Dove, 1965? Hallelujah. He said, "Oh, I have a little song here." What did he do with this song? It was "On the Wings of a Snow White Dove." Hallelujah. But then he says, "I wrote another verse in it." Hallelujah. Before his passing, he left us an example. Hallelujah. He says, "I wrote the song from my heart." He was a poet. He did write rhymes and poems. And he wrote it from his heart. And he says, "This is the worship of the hour." Hallelujah. Yes, he did. Says, yes, old-fashioned songs. Yes, absolutely. Hallelujah. Because in those days, they had the charismatic move too. You spot all the places where he spoke about old-fashioned songs, old Pentecostal songs. Hallelujah. He was preaching there, you know, in the places which were affected by the Pentecost and charismatic moves, which were carried away in their worship. They didn't even have a kernel in there, you know. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. But then it says, "I enjoy those songs, only believe." What was that song? It was a song composed by a man who lived in the lifetime of Brother Branham.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Only believe. Who created that?
That's right.
Hallelujah. A man who was preaching.
Amen.
You know, I forgot his name. But that was a preacher that, you know, Brother Branham speaks about. When he says, this man was preaching there in Africa on a missionary trip and got a certain infection and he was dying. And the Lord showed him a dream or a vision. He says, "There's this big log, remember?" And he says, "You just push it over the river," and says, "I'm riding on it. I'm riding on it." That was the man that wrote "Only Believe."
Amen.
Yes. So that was his contemporary.
Amen.
That was somebody who was creating songs back in his age. It was a fresh song. It was not 50 years ago. It was a fresh song. No wonder the angel was pleased with it, because it was a fresh song relating the message of the hour. Hallelujah. Down from his glory. Who wrote this one? Booth Cliburn. Who was Booth Cliburn? He was preaching in the Branham Tabernacle. Hallelujah. So these were his contemporaries who were creating those songs, and they were inspired. Hallelujah. Let's bring it down to our age, to our day, 2014. Isn't the same principle repeating itself? Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit and the angel is pleased with a fresh kill, with a fresh something, a sacrifice of praise which has blood in it, still fresh. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're living in those times. Hallelujah. We're living in those times where the mamba wants even to crawl right into our worship, right into our songs.
Amen.
Oh, but we're not afraid.
Amen.
We're not afraid.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the spirit of Elijah, hallelujah, allows us to bind all those mambas.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That are crawling into our family relationship, crawling into our church relationship, crawling into our worship, crawling into our preaching sometimes. You know, not long ago, you know, I remember myself, you know, trying to put two quotes together, you know, and then try to glue a scripture on top of it or on the back of it, you know, somewhere, not even having the revelation of what I'm being preaching, you know. I'm not ashamed to say this because Job wasn't. He says, I'll better close my mouth. No wonder Elisha turned over to the men, sons of the prophet, says, I know you know how to quote, but you better keep still. Because he saw they didn't even have a revelation. And they proved they didn't have a revelation. They were standing afar off. They were preaching a wrong doctrine about the rapture. And Elisha had the right revelation of it. Oh, then he says, you better keep still. You listen to me preach. Hallelujah. He wasn't ashamed to say that. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. But the Lord is so merciful when he reveals that whenever the prophet says something in the quote, there's a Bible background in it. He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't in the Bible. Hallelujah. So then from there, we draw the inspiration and then the message becomes a full picture. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. When we take the whole mantle on top of us. Not something, well, not only from 1963 onwards. This is where Brother Branham had the fullest revelation. No! From 1970, from 1947. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Where he says, we've just had some recording devices here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And onwards. 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53. All inspired.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, we need the whole mantle on top of us. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this is our role. We are the Elishas. We are the ones who have crossed Jordan and have the power and, hallelujah, given by God, by grace, from the ministry of Elijah to bind the mamba. Hallelujah. To bind the pale horse. Because when John was said, come and see, hallelujah, there came a pale horse and his name was Death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the Lord sent an eagle anointing on there. Hallelujah. There was another living creature that came out, number four, hallelujah, with the eagle face on it. Hallelujah. Who, you just, when the Lord is doing that through you, you're just coming and seeing it. You're just a witness of it. Because he's doing it himself.
Amen.
He'll bind the mamba through you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. And this is what I want to tell you. Crossing over Jordan. Hallelujah. To get that revelation, to get that power. There's mamba all over the place.
Amen.
Oh, but it takes the spirit of Elijah. It takes an anointed man. It takes an anointed ministry. If you do recognize it, then put all your ears to whatever that ministry says. Hallelujah. We don't want to be like the sons of the prophets. We don't want to be. We don't want to be. We wouldn't never want to be there. Hallelujah. Making a mistake after mistake after mistake. No. We better heed to what the anointed man of the hour says. And who is the anointed man of the hour? Hallelujah. The Lord set out, he placed in the church. Hallelujah. Those men with the spirit of Elijah on them. And we're not ashamed of saying this.
Amen.
Because he is our Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's the general of the chariot.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's the leader of the age.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is what I wanted to share with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's more thoughts. You can read on and you'll just see it in the same line of thought. How the children came. He had the power to unbind the wamba again. Not only to bind it, but to unbind it. Why? Because they were scoffers of the rapture. They were. Go up, you bald head! What's that? It's a scoffing of the rapture. It's a scoffing of the revelation of Elijah. Brother Bram says, why did it happen? Because their parents didn't believe it. And then the young people die in the church. It says 42 of them. Brother Bram says probably 100 of them there. And 42 of them died. Why? Because their parents didn't believe Elijah fully.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, and then you go on and they have the death in the pot and he had the meal offering Christ to put in there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And all the other types. Oh, it's wonderful. And you say, it's strange. Elisha had the quickening power in him, the key of the rapture. But how did he die? How come did he die? Because he died. Elijah was taken up, Elisha wasn't. He died. The Bible even says he got sick and died. He got ill from the illness and he died. Hallelujah. You say, where does the quickening power come in the picture here? In the next verses of the same chapter. Where it says Elisha died, but when there was a war and they put a dead man on his, threw on his bones, the quickening power was even in his bones. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whether you die in this age or whether you are raptured, hallelujah, you still have the quickening power. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Because if you die here, hallelujah, then you will come back to pick this body up. Hallelujah. Just like Brother Branham says. Oh, hallelujah. If you don't die, you just go to, your atoms are changing. You catch your theophany into the glorious body. Hallelujah. And there you are. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. But the key is, we don't want to stand in one place. We want to progress from sincerity to sincerity. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I know you are very sincere, church. Amen. Absolutely. Hallelujah. When I hear the testimonies of how God hears you, how God hears your prayers, oh, I enjoy it so much. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you are sincere. Hallelujah. Amen. But what I want to say, we're progressing from sincerity to sincerity. I am progressing from sincerity to sincerity. And then the Lord again revealed more to us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. It's so wonderful to walk along with people of the same kind. With the birds of the same kind. Oh, it would have been so lonesome to be alone on this ride with Elijah. But when you know there's somebody in Ireland, in Dublin, somebody in Banbury, somebody elsewhere, following the steps of Elijah closely, hallelujah, look into his mouth, what's the next revelation? And then you meet this man of God, you talk to him, and you realize you're on the same line. Amen. You're on the same stage. Amen. Because you're following Elijah, hallelujah. Amen. You're following, you're progressing in your sincerity. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. We just want to maybe sing this song. Do you sing this, I Want to Go? Because we want to go, yeah. We have I gave it to Brother Paul just in case you didn't have the words. I'll probably ask my wife to, you know, come to the piano. We'll sing this. I'm sure a lot of you know this song. This inspired song, burning desire in me to be more like thee. It's growing stronger every day. Because we want to go. We don't want to sit. We don't want to stand. We want to go. Amen. We want to progress from sincerity to insincerity. Amen. To have the power to bind the mamba. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, you're welcome to worship with us. Just stand maybe and sing the song with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Burning desire in me to be more like thee is growing stronger every day. I'm putting in my soul, perfection is my goal, to walk with you in perfect harmony. I want to go where you want me to. Send me, Lord, to do the things you do, my Lord. I want to go. I want to feel your presence near. Perfect love casting out all fears, my Lord. I want to feel you've taken away my shame. Give me a part of your name. Set your holy seal upon me. I'm thankful for your grace.
I gave myself unreservedly. I want to go where you want me to. Send me, Lord, to do the things you do, my Lord. I want to go. I want to feel your presence near. Perfect love casting out all fears, my Lord. I want to feel. I'm casting my reasoning down, listening for that certain sound that stills more deep in my soul, to lead me where I should go, perfect will to daily know that unto you my works be fulfilled. I want to go where you want me to. Send me, things you do, my Lord. I want to go. I want to feel your presence near. Perfect love casting out all fears, my Lord. I want to feel, and I want to go. Where you want me to, send me, Lord, to do the things you do, my Lord. I want to go. I want to feel your presence, dear, perfect love, casting out all fears, my Lord.
Prayer this Easter morning, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, even in your Easter days, Lord, you were progressing from one point to another. Hallelujah. You were progressing from the grave. Hallelujah. You were progressing from the lower regions of the earth. Hallelujah. You were progressing right on top of the earth. Hallelujah. Into a new body. Hallelujah. You pulled out the stone. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, you were progressing. You were meeting the women there. Hallelujah. Who came to the tomb. Oh, in the Easter morning. Hallelujah. Oh Lord Jesus, even that morning you were going. Hallelujah. And the women said, we want to go. Hallelujah. We want to run. Hallelujah. We want to declare. Hallelujah. To all the other disciples. Hallelujah. There was movement on the Easter morning. Hallelujah. As the resurrection quickening power. Oh, was working in the people and upon the people. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord Jesus. And this is our desire. We want to be like Enoch. We want to walk with you one step at a time. Hallelujah. One revelation at a time. Oh, Lord, we don't want to stay anywhere. We don't want to become stale or stagnated, Lord. We want to progress. We want to be more sincere, Lord. This is my desire, Lord. I feel I'm not sincere enough, Lord. Forgive me for my insincerity, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to be more sincere, to have the more power, Lord, over the mambas of my life, Lord. Over the power, over the mambas of my church, Lord. Over the mambas that come against my ministry, Lord. That come against, oh Lord, whatever you're doing in my life and my family, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to have the power, Lord. Oh, Jesus. And as I'm progressing like Elisha, I believe all those saints here, they don't want to sit in their chairs. They don't want to sit there. Hallelujah. They want to go. Hallelujah. Where you want us to. Oh, Lord, praise. Perfection is our goal, Lord. Hallelujah. The perfect anointing, Lord. The perfect anointing of the eagle, Lord. Hallelujah. This is what we're progressing into. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for each one here. Lord, I believe their heart's desire and motive is to go with you, to follow you. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful that there's an anointed man of God in this church here. Hallelujah. So that the people can come to him and not only respect him and not only admit he's a pastor, but also to heed to his vision. Hallelujah. Whether that's a deacon, whether that's a song leader, whether that's a trustee, whether that's a sister or a brother, a child, an older brother. Hallelujah. Oh, brother. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful that there's men on the face of this earth who are anointed. Hallelujah. And this anointing flows from the head. Hallelujah. From the head to the beard and to the neck. Hallelujah. And to the garments and to the very ends of the garment of the church. Hallelujah. Flows from the head. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you so much. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, there are so many churches that don't even have a pastor. Lord, we feel sorry for them. Lord, we send pastors more. Lord, send more ministers on your field. Lord, but we're so grateful though for those who are there. Hallelujah. Oh, who have the vision, who are not walking, groping in darkness, Lord, but who know where you're going. Hallelujah. Where your spirit's going. Hallelujah. Oh, and then the sheep follow so easily. Hallelujah. They want to throw themselves into this vision. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, so that the dry bones would become an organism. Hallelujah. A moving army, an invincible army. None of the devils can hit it. None of the devils can overcome it. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful to see Brother David this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, he is a part of this invincible army. Hallelujah. Who wasn't overcome by anything. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful, blood of Brother Vladimir. Hallelujah. His faith. Hallelujah. He says, I had this chest infection or whatever, but he's been on every single service. Hallelujah. Serving you, playing in his position there. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, for the church of the overcomers, Lord. And we want to be even more sincere. We want to be even closer to you, Lord. As we're approaching even the communion service, Lord. Where the spirit of Elijah, the spirit of God, and us beyond Jordan, talking to us, pointing to us some things we need to correct, pointing to us things that we need, hallelujah, to fulfill, hallelujah, to have the perfect fellowship, hallelujah, to have the feast of Melchizedek, hallelujah, as he brings out the bread and the wine to us after the victory, hallelujah, over the kings. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful for the atmosphere and the pull of the church. They've pulled out everything that was on the notes, what that was not on the notes, that I knew where or I didn't know. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, the pull was so strong because, hallelujah, there's a real deep in them. Hallelujah. The deep is so strong in them. Hallelujah. They want to go. Hallelujah. They want to progress. They want to be more sincere. They hate the mambas. They're sick and tired of the mambas. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. They're sick and tired of the fear in the land. Hallelujah. Oh, they are the ones that are eagles to be soaring in liberty. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. I'm so thankful for you, for this grace of yours, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your hour, Lord. Thank you for your men of God. Hallelujah. The spirit of Elijah. Hallelujah. Without it, we would be blind as a bat. Hallelujah. Oh, but we can follow. Hallelujah. The ministry of the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Which anoints other men. Hallelujah. Oh, we just thank you for that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, Father. Hallelujah. If Brother Andrew could come. It certainly was a privilege and an enjoyment. Ah, I don't remember an Easter so enjoyable. Hallelujah. As the one my wife and I spent here amongst the children of God here. We felt so welcome in the house of Brother Virgis and Sister Ingrid. And we thank them for everything they've done for us. We thank Brother Andrew for his kind invitation again, and we've been so welcome. I believe the Lord compensated for the things I went through 4 years ago. Amen. You know, I was standing here, and it was a day I didn't know my dad would live or die, you know. Yeah. And I had to be in my post of duty.
Yes.
I was interpreting. You could have seen my pale or gray face, you know, standing here. Because I was sad, you know, because it was hard to believe something could happen. And since then, my dad has gone through two more operations, was dead another time. But got raised by the Lord again. Hallelujah. Oh, but now he's up and going. He has a gift of a witness. He's witnessing everywhere, open markets, city shops, wherever. He's just bringing Christ, people to Christ. Hallelujah. He's a singer as well, because the Lord hasn't finished with him. Hallelujah. Oh, it was an enjoyable time. I better get out of here. Hallelujah, because it's so enjoyable here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen, saints. Let's sing a song of worship. Just to say, just a couple of announcements here, saints, is we're going to have communion service. It's now just after 2. We'll come back around 3 o'clock. Let's come back, get in some worship, and we'll have, like I said, we won't take long on the preaching. We'd like to really come and remember the Lord's death. Now, I know there's a lot of people who don't come for communion service. And I want to say to you the way that Elisha said to the school of the prophets, don't go. Amen. Don't go in a permissive will. It's the perfect will of God for people to wash one another's feet and to partake of the communion. That's the perfect will of God. Jesus said, do this as oft as you can in remembrance of me. The remembering is this. I really wanted just to say to people, because we all have to give an answer one day, but there's certain people that, I don't know why, Sunday afternoon comes, they have a communion Saturday, and they have better things to do. I don't think it could be anything better that anybody could do today on an Easter resurrection morning than to partake of the elements that represent to us his broken body, which is his word to us that he sent in this age as well, and his blood, the token life, the life of Christ himself. So I'd really encourage everybody, check yourself, saints, and ask yourself, is there anything more important this afternoon that you could be doing? Is football more important or whatever? I don't think there's anything more important than being faithful to the ordinances that the Lord has sent to us. So I'm just going to say it to you. You do with it what you want, but I really do believe it's the permissive will of God, or out of the will of God, for people continually not to take communion. Amen. It shows there's sin in somebody's life, or there's something wrong which should be made right. Amen. Because communion service is a blessed time. This allows you to make sure everything is right between you and the Lord before you come. So I really just wanted to put that to the saints. Let's sing one song. Ask Brother Francois if you wouldn't mind coming to close us in a word of prayer after this song. And let's come back 3 o'clock. We do thank the Lord for his word today. Thank the Lord for his mercy. May the Lord continue to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. One more, and then Brother Francois, if you could come and close to us, please, brother.
Within my soul, God has promised in his word, he'll make us whole. Well, it's time for it to happen. That will make and bring to us a tremendous victory in the love divine. Oh, I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. I'm heading down to the Jordan. Breaking. Liverpool ministry. Now's my time for consecration. I must see a change in me. I will enter my secret closet and close the door behind me. I will keep the feast of unleavened bread with truth and sincerity. For I'm expecting Jehovah Jireh, my Lord, to meet with me. Oh, I'm tired of traveling on this mountain. Fire burning, preparing my soul, change me from glory unto glory, till thy image will be whole. Let's give this holy convocation with truth and sincerity. It's the message in you. Oh, I'm tired of traveling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Oh, before me I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking. Power that
precious Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we come humbly before thy presence to thank you for the privilege that you have, that Christianity is based on three things: death, burial, and the resurrection, Father. And we want to commemorate the resurrection of our life, because we were dead in sin and trespass, but you, God, that is rich in mercy, you have come on our way to save us from the way of sin. If it wasn't because of the Calvary, nobody could stand here. Because in our own, we have no merit. In our own, we have nothing that could make us approach thee, Father. But you made a way yourself. And the scripture tells us that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world.
Yes,
the provision was made before we could come even to this earth, Father.
Yes,
we thank you so much because you always had us in your mind, and that's why we believe to this message, Father.
Yes,
Father, we know that this message is nothing but the truth, Father.
Yes,
there's nothing that could separate us from the world except the voice of the seventh angel,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
And we have accepted boldly that voice, Father.
Amen.
And we have put aside all the things that could be worth for our youth, for our life, to follow thee, Father.
Yes,
because we confess and believe that there's nowhere else is life but in thee, Christ.
Yes,
the revealed word in our time. Father, as we want to approach the communion service this afternoon,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, we ask you that all our sins shall be put under the blood,
Amen,
of the shedding Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was tested and found worthy, Father.
Amen.
And the prophet tell us that in the Old Testament,
yes,
when the guilty come before, he come with a lamb, and the lamb is examined, and if the lamb is found worthy, there is a transferring of sin. And we know that you have found your Son, your begotten one, worthy, And there is a transferring of sin by faith that we want to lay our hand tonight, our hand of faith, Amen. That our sin is transferred to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, that nobody will come out of this place without taking the communion, Father. Amen. Because in our own, nobody can take communion, Father. Yes. We take the communion because the blood was shed for us, Father. Amen. And we ask you to forgive our shortcoming. To pardon our sin, Father. Amen. Anything that could handle your praises among us, Father. Amen. Because the prophet tells when the communion is taken with the right attitude, yes. there's a healing of the body Amen. And the healing of the soul, Father. Amen. And we want to take it with the right attitude, Father. Amen. We come prepared, Father. We come consecrated, Father. Yes. But as the brother preached, our sincerity is not enough, Father. Amen. That's why we ask you that you shall give us the sincerity, yes. your sincerity, Father, that you shall join together with our sincerity. Then we'll meet the level of the requirement, Amen. Father. Amen. And it's nothing that will stand before us, Father. Yes. We thank you for your servant that you have used today, Amen. Father. And your word has come forth, Father. Amen. Let not us be just the hearer of the word, but let us be the doer of the word, Father. Amen. And help us, Father. And we trust that there's a capacity in us that you have deposited Amen. It before the foundation of the world. Amen. That when we will come in contact with thy truth, Father, we will be able to answer, Father, and do according to thy word, Father. Yes. We lay ourselves before thee, Father. If there's anything else, Father, that could hinder you among us, Father, we put all under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let at the end of the communion service, Father, there be a testimony, Father, that this we went beyond the element, the symbol Amen. That happened, Father, but there was a reality, spiritually speaking, Father, and we look at that reality, Father. Bless us all as we go into our break. We commit everything at thy hand. In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Saints, we'll make it 3:30 there, I think, just to have enough time. 3:30 back in for worship. God bless you.
I'm gonna stay.